nothing. This is Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. Earl's not with us this morning or tomorrow, but he will be back on Monday. I'm sitting here with Scott Williams.
You get me today.
Yeah, we do. We've been talking this morning about, well, just about a whole range of things. But, you know, one thing we haven't talked about, which I think is the question of karmic justice.
Here we go.
You know, and karma is an important element in, it's important in what it does for all of us. You know, there's sort of this elemental natural law that brings upon people the appropriate penalty for their conduct, right? That's karma. Well, karma can be good, too. You can do good things, and the karmic powers can bring you benefits. But let's talk about Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Oh, his trial.
Yeah, here we go. I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's life is a female dog. Yes, yeah. You know this, okay?
Yeah.
And then her stripper name is Karma.
Oh,
you know this is funny. They throw this around in the sticks when you talk when you're hanging out in the woods.
Yeah,
you'll hear that kind of thing, or on fake football fields. Sometimes you might hear something.
Was that the end of it?
That's it.
Oh,
is this something you say when something bad happens to someone?
Life's
a female dog.
I see what you're saying.
And a stripper named Karma.
Yeah,
so it's a joke, Sandy.
I get it.
You get it?
Yeah.
I could lead you back down it again.
Well,
let's off-ramp the joke. Again.
I would get it better.
Well, Scott, your comedic timing is suspect.
I think I would get it better if it was funny, but...
man.
Whoa.
Right.
Sandy got you, man. That's harsh. I feel bad.
Flyby on that. That was a tower flyby right there.
Yeah, that's some really
maverick, a maverick middle finger flying
really,
sideways.
Alex Jones, I mean, really, a person who's made money by suggesting that the Sandy Hook tragedy was a fraud. A man who describes, just about everything bad that happens, he comes up with a conspiracy theory for it, right?
Yes, and even better than talking about Alex Jones, we should talk about his lawyers.
Yeah.
Because they've had a couple of days, haven't they?
apparently they made a mistake and actually divulged. Well, you know, I'm not sure it was a mistake because...
What? One of them suddenly, that moral compass led them straight?
Well, no. They were... The discovery request was for all of the telephone records, okay? Huh. So a lawyer is obligated to provide a response that's honest to the discovery request. So... He provided the full answer to the discovery request. The problem was that Alex Jones had lied about it.
But was the lawyer present? Was that deposition?
I have the article pulled up, if you wouldn't mind me reading it.
No, go ahead.
Let's hear it.
Please.
Thank you. Let's hear it.
I think the more we can talk about Alex Jones today, the better off we'll all be.
And his lawyers. And his...
All right. So in a remarkable moment, Bankston disclosed to Jones in the court that he had recently acquired evidence proving Jones had lied when he claimed during the discovery process that he had never texted about the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting. Bankston said that Jones's attorney had, in an apparent mishap, sent him 2 years of cell phone records that included every text message Jones had sent. The cell phone records, Bankston said, show that Jones had, in fact, texted about the Sandy Hook shooting.
Oh,
so he did.
Can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. And then if you see the video.
Can't believe it. It's so out of character.
And then he's like, that is how I know you lied to me when you said that you didn't have text messages about Sandy Hook. He just roasted him.
Well, the interesting thing is that a lawyer who knows that he's received an error discovery is obligated actually to...
He communicated it to them and they did nothing.
Yeah, they did nothing. And I think they did nothing because, in fact, it was an honest response to the discovery request that had been...
So this is just clickbait? This is actually in the story, not story? It's just who he actually is. We all know he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, here's a lot of proof that he's a bad guy.
I think the lawyers knew he was a bad guy, too.
Right.
So.
He's also like, hey, all these businesses I own, they have no money. Get out of my money.
Yeah.
He showed up to court with the duct tape over his face.
Yeah.
Save the first.
Yes. Well, Alex Jones he's like a gift that won't stop giving as far as liberals are concerned. Except here's the terrifying thing. He has a huge audience.
Right.
So, you know, the more, you know, what we were talking about earlier on the show, I think, is an important concept, because I think Alex Jones is playing to an audience in which he strikes a chord. The chord he strikes most often, I think, is fear, and he's very good at it.
Right. If conservatives, people that support his outlook and his ideology, or whatever you want to call his dogma, if they were to hear you and I speak today, his hope is that the way we would speak about him and the, and those beliefs would in we would be othering aggressively them, demonizing them, and he would hope for, you know, increased discord between, you know, whatever it is people perceive you and I believe for the things we would might say around this conversation. I go, it takes me back to the idea of why, you know, what is at the core of what they fear. You know, why, you know, what is it that they hold on to that they actually believe? And then how can you have a dialogue around that?
And I think what we need to do is figure out how not to talk about they.
100%.
And how we can.
I probably just did it. I have to listen back.
Yeah. But and how we can basically on both sides of the dialogue become empathetic and sound empathetic so that we can coax one another out of these caves. Right.
You're saying I was just offering fake empathy, Sandy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I'm working on it.
No, but the thing is that the dialogue we have in this country apparently seems to scare people further into their caves. Right. The conservatives definitely scare the liberals, and the liberals definitely scare the conservatives. And I keep coming back to this fellow who was the grandson of Portuguese immigrants who I sat next to on a plane flying from Newark to Florida. Couple, you know, like 6 weeks ago, who was a very decent guy, and clearly, however, by the end of the conversation, I said, I think we're on different political channels here. I think you probably supported Trump, and oh yeah, he's a wonderful, wonderful man, a fantastic man. I said, what'd you like about him so much? He said, Donald Trump loves America, and I love America. And then he started immediately talking about guns and gun rights and how he had guns, yes, and how he was always armed with a gun. And I said, well, now, why is that? And he said, because something bad is going to happen in America, and I'm going to have my gun. And I realized that he was talking about, first of all, that the reason that this whole love of America was all about patriotism and about maintaining essentially the Judeo-Christian culture that is America, that the second generation immigrant, white immigrant from Portugal was holding on to very strongly. He was a blue collar owner of an HVAC company, and he was holding on to that very strongly, and that he was willing to go to war about it because he felt it was under such attack, and that Donald Trump was the savior. He was the champion of this America that he wanted to preserve. And I think that's what we all have to wrap our brain around and realize that that's where we are at. And it's a very, very dangerous. I mean, we're fraying. I mean, the American culture is fraying into its parts because people have such strong feelings. And it's not, it's what's behind those feelings, which is that the people who have them feel very strongly and very legitimate about them. There's nothing pseudo about what they're thinking. There's nothing contrived about it. You know, Donald Trump and I think a couple of detractors for Donald Trump, Liz Cheney being one of them, said, you know, one of his biggest sins is that he's grabbing people's patriotism and he's turning it into this terrible problem, which was January 6th, for instance. You know, January 6th is exactly what this gentleman that I was sitting on the plane next to was talking about. You know, it's that kind of an insurrection. It's that kind of a big problem in America that he wants to be armed and be able to participate in.
Well, I mean, one question that I've definitely wrestled with during the hearings and things has been, why didn't January 6th, why doesn't it have a bigger, why don't we have a stronger reaction to it nationally? Like, as a people, there was outcry, there's this investigation, but I'm talking about just in our day-to-day lives, you know, people talking about it, being informed on it. Have you been watching the hearings? The number of people that are absolutely not watching the hearings, that's left and right, you know, just an American willingness to be uninformed. And that, you know, to me, again, that's extremely troubling because...
Well, when you see that a very significant percentage of America continues to be election deniers, if you are an election denier, if you believe that the election was stolen, as Donald Trump would like to characterize it, then that legitimizes some fairly radical conduct in reaction to the fact that the election was stolen. It actually legitimizes in many people's minds conduct like January 6th, because they were patriots trying to cause Michael Pence to do what ought to be done in the face of a stolen election.
Unfortunately for them, that has not stood up in court too well.
Well, because
they tried to use that. Well, but Trump told me to do it.
Well, as it turns out,
it was still you.
Yeah, I mean, the prosecution of these people is working out in a particular way, but it doesn't seem to be changing a lot of minds. I think we have a break coming up. We'll be back. Not amused by all the things you say that you do. Though much concerned, but not involved with decisions that are made by.